very patronage. And have mercy on me, and prevent me from breaking in the bounds of thy prohibitions, as far as I am kept alive. And show the way unto that which is useful and advantageous till I go on survive. To let me take to heart the meanings of thy book, and by its reading, throw down the heavy burden of sins, and receive welfare and salvation as a gift. Let not my family and friends who love me leave me alone. Let thy favors reach me in abundance during the remainder of my life, exactly as they used to be made available for me in full in the days gone by. O, the most merciful.
IRIB English Radio in the month of Muharram presents today's special. Every day for 15 minutes.
In the name of Allah and Salam. You are listening to this program entitled Today's Special, and today's Friday, 27th of Muharram, 1446 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 12th of Mordad, 1403 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 2nd of August, 2024 of the Christian Gregorian calendar.
عظم الله أجورنا وأجوركم بمصابنا بأبي الأحرار سيد الشهداء أبي عبد الله الحسين وجعلنا من المنتظمين بمصابهم مع إمامهن منصورهن من آل محمد.
Come here and listen to Salutation on Imam al-Hussein by Imam Mahdi. Some parts of Ziyara Nahiya is here.
As-salamu ala al-nazihin anil awtan. As-salamu ala al-madfunin bila akfa'an. السلام على الرؤوس المفرقة عن الأبدان السلام على المحتسب الصابر السلام على المظلوم بلا ناصير.
Peace be upon those who were left far from their homeland. Peace be upon those who were buried without shrouds. Peace be upon the heads severed from the bodies. Peace be upon the brave and the patient one. Peace be upon the depressed one who was without a helper.
Hope you have instilled in our heart in a world where hopes disappear. Peace you have ingrained in our soul in a time when peace becomes rare. Every breath that you did take, every step that you would make, purpose and guidance it gave mankind's heart its way.
We speak about Imam al-Hussein's message. Throughout history, political and social movement have carried messages and ideas that are usually limited to a specific time, place and situation. But the uprising of Imam al-Hussein and the event of Karbala has brought an everlasting message to the entire humanity. The thought of this glorious and unique uprising are shining like a bright light for mankind, which shows the way to prosperity in life and salvation in future. Islam emphasizes on freedom, Imam al-Hussein emphasized in his statements that the reason for his uprising was to revive the higher teachings of Islam and true practice of his grandfather, Prophet Muhammad, and his descendants. The teachings of Islam are centered on social supervision in the community, the call for good, and the avoidance of corruption and selfishness. During his journey from Medina to Mecca and then to Karbala, Imam Hussein worked to revive religious teachings.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum and welcome to this special from IRB English Radio. This is Ali, your host. Today we are going to have a look at Imam al-Hussein's lifestyle based on traditions that we have. Some people think that those men of worship and tahajjud, mysticism and seclusion do not have an effective presence in the social scene. And on the contrary, epic and decisive people do not have a gentle spirit. They do tahajjud at nights like a lion. So while they are doing tahajjud at nights and they pray and worship in the middle of the night, they are that much gentle and kind and submissive toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the days they are like a lion that attacks the enemies. Quran does not accept monasticism and at the same time rejects this connection with the Creator. The mystical sayings of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam are only one side of his character, but on the other side, he's an epic character and a hero who goes to meet the sword with a weapon of blood and sings like this. If the religion of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam is not stable except by killing me, so you, the swords, come and find me. It means that all swords come and cheer me up. The next lesson that we want to take from the lifestyle of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, or the Imams, the infallible Imam in general, is about their skill in communicating with others. So they are the most skilled people in communicating with others. In teaching life skills, special attention has been paid to effective communication skills. Communication is one of the most basic human needs for which life without community is meaningless.
On the month of Muharram, and the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his family and companions, be with today's special. Every day from IRIB English Radio.
People rise up and mourn, it is Ashura. See the struggle of Hussein.
And one of the lessons from Karbala is chastity and hijab. After the tragedy of Ashura, women and children became prisoners of war and were taken first from Karbala to Kufa and then to Damascus. They were tortured en route and forced to walk behind the soldiers who carried the heads of Imam al-Hussein and his companions mounted on spears. When they arrived at Yazid's headquarters in Damascus, Imam Sajjad, peace be upon him, asked that the heads be removed from the proximity of the women and children in order to protect them from spectators.
Assalamu alaykum, ya Abu Abdullah. وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار فلا جعله الله آخر العهد من زيارتك السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين الذين بذلوا مهجهم دون الحسين عليه السلام
Karbala is the victory of truth over falsehood. The triumph of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam lies in the fact that his inspiration has moved men to grieve for him throughout the centuries. The pure light of ennobled humanity in the Imam has motivated generation upon generation of the Shia to suffer endless hardship to keep his memory alive. The first beginnings of the majlis, the sessions held in honor of the martyrdom of Imam al-Hussein, are to be discerned in the first gatherings of the surviving family of the martyred Imam. Very soon, these gatherings of grief develop outside the family to include others. Not long afterwards, there was the majlis of kuf and penitence, the tawabin, when they gathered at his graveside to lament, to grieve, to prepare for martyrdom in the battle that was to come, to try, in some small way to make them worthy of sacrifice Imam al-Hussein had made for them and all mankind. The triumph of the martyred Imam is such that every year on Ashura, in places all over the world, the faithfuls gather together to remember the Imam, Imam Hussein, peace be upon him.
Sheikh Usama Al-Attar.
Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam one day was in Najaf. He told his companions, one of his companions, he told him, go, just now, go outside and stand on the root. There is a fork. I want you to stand at the fork right there. You will see a man coming. When you see him, bring him to me. So this companion says, I went, I stood there at the fork, and I kept on waiting and waiting and waiting until I thought maybe I was about to give up. He says, I was about to go back. But then, true, from a distance, I see a man coming. So as he approaches me, I tell him, oh man, come with me. He says, where? He says, one of the children of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam wants to see you in his tent. So he says, okay. So he goes with him. The man goes inside the tent, gives his salam to Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. Imam al-Sadiq answers back and he tells him, did you come from Yemen? Yemen. This man had come all the way from Yemen. He says, yes. He says, you're from so and so place? He says, yes. He says, what brings you here? Why did you come here? He said, I came only for the ziyarah of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam. He said, you come from Yemen all the way to go to visit my grandfather al-Hussein salamullahi alayhi. Why? He says, because of the blessings that we have observed from visiting his qabr. The barakat. When we visit his qabr, we see barakat, blessings in our lives, in our money, in our health. This is in the ziyarah. This is a man from Yemen. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says, do you have any other business that you want to carry? He said, no. I've come all the way from Yemen, back in those days, just so that I visit Imam al-Hussein and I head back to Yemen. That's it. No other business. So Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam cries and says, O visitor of Imam al-Hussein, my grandfather, do you know the ajr you have before Allah? Each ziyarah of Imam al-Hussein is worth one hajj and one umrah. He says, a hajj and a umrah? He says, it's worth two hajjs and two umrahs. He says, two hajjs, two umrahs? And Imam continues adding until he said 30 hajjs and 30 umrahs. That's the barakah of ziyarah of Imam al-Husayn salamullahi alayhi.
Dear brothers and sisters, thank you very much for listening to this episode of today's special under the topic of the message of Imam al-Husayn, peace be upon him. Please follow us in parstoday.ir, Call of Islam, and especially this program, today's special. Thank you very much and fi amanillah.
ومماتي ممات محمد وآل محمد اللهم اجعل محياي محيا محمد وآل محمد ومماتي ممات محمد وآل محمد.
Take pieces of bread from me, and your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You are listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Danesh, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. Today we're going to talk about a beautiful hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen, the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali alayhi salam. So in a kind of conversation with his son, Imam Hassan alayhi salam, Imam Ali alayhi salam talks about, you know, how to treat others. He gives a standard. He says, Ya Bunayya, O my dear son, put yourself like a standard, like a touchstone for knowing how to treat others. Ij'al nafsaka mizanan. Mizan, you know, is like a standard, like a scale, like a measure. How would you measure your behavior? How should you behave? How should you interact with others? You know, sometimes we get confused. What is our right? What is not? How should we treat others? when they are good, when they are not, when they are close, when they are not, when they are friends, when they are not, when they do something bad to us, or they are super good to us, what should we do? Should we be jealous of them? Should we envy others? Should we help others? What should we do? You know, these are questions that come to mind every day and with, you know, in interaction with anyone. So it's a very, very fundamental question. It's very, you know, beneficial thing to know the standard for it. So the standard, as Imam Ali alayhi salam says, is فِيمَا بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ غَيْرِكَ اِجْعَلْ نَفْسَكَ. You know, put yourself as the standard. You should be standard. How? فَأَحْبِبْ لَغَيْرِكَ مَا تُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِكَ. Love for others, you know, be pleased for others, you know, be pleased with something in regard to others. When you love it, you, you know, you accept it, you are pleased with it, when it comes to yourself. If you love to be helped, if you love to be respected, if you like to, if you get pleased to, pleased when people, you know, treat you well, they help you, they borrow you things when you need it, and so on and so forth. Whatever you like and accept about yourself, love and accept it for others. And also, do not like something for them, something that you wouldn't like for yourself. And this concept has been mentioned in a number of other hadiths. You know, we can say many other hadiths. So, are we like that? Are we like that, really? So, for example, if you make a mistake, for example, this happens a lot. People make mistakes. You make mistakes. So, when you make a mistake, do you like other people to get picky on you or to not mention it and to just pass by and, you know, take it easy on you? So if that's the case, you want others to be dismissive, forgetful, forgiving, are you like that when it comes to other people making mistakes, you know, in regard to you? This is the question, a very, very good question. We should be fair. This is fairness. We should be fair to other people, and this is the way. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
You just listened to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Danesh, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على
Let's recite the Quran.
وَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ جَعَلْنَا بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ حِجَابًا مَسْتُورًا
القرآن نور وبيان القرآن هدي الإيمان القرآن مسك الختام
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل الفرج.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRB English Radio, welcome to Let's Recite the Quranic Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. I'm really glad that I have brothers Hassan Nasrullah, Hussein Ruhullah, and Hussein Akbari, and Fawad Haider. Everybody welcome. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, sir.
How are you, Hussein?
Alhamdulillah.
Fawad Haider?
Wa alaikum assalam, sir. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Hassan, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, sir. Alhamdulillah.
And Hussein, how are you doing? Are you fine?
Yes.
Alhamdulillah. So everyone is great. Everyone is fine. We are so, so good and energetic. Let's get started. Hope you are the same, fully energetic and ready to get started. Inshallah, today we will talk about Ayah 198 and 199, Suratul A'raf, on page 199. So, before we get started, let's listen to the recitation.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa in tad'uuhum ila al-huda la yasma'u wa tarahum yanzuruna ilayka wa hum la yubsirun. خذ العفو وأمر بالعرف وأعرض عن الجاهلين.
Nice recitation, mashallah, mashallah. Fawad, would you please read the first ayah once?
Yes.
Read it.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وَإِن تَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَى الْهُدَى لَا يَسْمَعُوا.
أحسنت، ما شاء الله.
وَتَرَاهُمْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَيْكَ وَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ.
أحسنت. فواد، sometimes we know the tajweed rules, yes?
Yes.
But maybe we
make intentional mistakes.
Intentional mistakes?
Yeah.
Or maybe we forget it.
Yeah, that's the other case.
Read the word watarahum.
Watarahum.
But you said
tara.
Tarahum.
Tarahum. Yes.
Tarahum. It's a heavy letter, right?
Well, the heavy sound. Yes. It's a heavy sound.
Hassan. Wahum la yubsirun. Is that correct? Wahum la yubsirun. Is that correct?
Yes, I made a weak qalqala.
Did he make a qalqala sound there?
Yes.
Read the way you read. Wahum?
La yubsirun.
La yubsirun, you said.
Yeah, weak qalqala. Yub.
That is not called a qalqala, bro.
Yub.
No, that's not called a qalqala. Hassan, how do you read it? The letter ba is sakin, so whenever the letter ba and some other letters, four other letters, what are the qalqala letters? Qaf,
Ta,
Ta, Ba,
Jim,
and Dal. So these five letters, whenever they appear saken, you have to
pronounce an echoing sound.
An echoing sound. Pronounce them with an echoing sound. Echo the sound. How do you echo the sound, Hassan?
Wahum la yubsirun.
Ah, yubsirun. An echoing sound. وَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. A very soft, beautiful one. وَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. يُبْصِرُونَ. It's not ba, it's yub.
So the softer, the better, right?
Yes, but you didn't even echo it. Okay. So anyhow, وَإِن تَدْعُوهُمْ. The word تَدْعُوهُمْ as well, like this.
That's a heavy one, which I pronounced.
Read the word وَإِن تَدْعُوهُمْ.
وَإِن تَدْعُوهُمْ.
He didn't do this the first time. Did he do that? Hussein?
They don't remember. Did he apply?
Did he apply the rule إخفاء?
Yes.
Yes, I did.
No, he didn't. He said, وَإِن تَدْعُوهُمْ. He didn't say, وَإِن تَدْعُوهُمْ. Hussein, read. وَإِن تَدْعُوهُمْ.
وَإِن تَدْعُوهُمْ.
Like this, okay? إِن تَدْعُوهُمْ. Extend the sound. You didn't extend the sound. All right?
Hussein approves of me reading correctly. Okay. He said it's correct.
All right. So, if that is, if he says that that was correct, what about yanzuruna? I'm sure yanzuruna, yes. You didn't apply the nun. So, hide the sound of noon as well here. Okay. خذ العفو. Next ayah. خذ العفو وأمر بالعرف وأعرض عن الجاهلين. Hussein, read this ayah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. خذ العفو وأمر بالعرف وأعرض عن الجاهلين.
أحسنتم. خذ العفو. Allah says to the Prophet that, O Prophet, adopt a policy of excusing the faults of people. That means when people make mistake or they commit a zulm or something, okay? If they are being bad to you, if they come to you, accept their apology. All right? Accept their apology. Allah Almighty commands us, yes, to be forgiving. So Allah Almighty Himself is forgiving. Yes or no?
Yes.
What is the attribute of Allah Almighty that talks about forgiving, forgiveness? Ghaffar or Ghafoor. Yes? Ghaffar or Ghafoor. Okay. Allah says, خُذِ الْعَفْوَ. When they come to you, accept their apology. And it does not mean that always whoever, for example, plot against you should forgive them. No. It has a meaning in like different contexts, okay? It has its own meaning, all right? Sometimes the cruel people, they come to you, they're being so oppressive. So you don't have to be kind with them. If they are so rude, so oppressive, if they're not respecting you, okay, you should stand against them, all right? Yes or no?
Should you be oppressive too?
No.
So you should defend.
Allah says, وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا. Allah says, look, if someone is being cruel or bad to you, so if you want to answer them, do not answer them in injustice way. Unfairly. Fairly answer them. Okay? Whatever they deserve, do it. Not more than that, for example. Okay?
IRIB English Radio, in cooperation with Xavier International Schools, presents Let's Recite the Quran.
وبختم كتابك أرقى وبختم كتابك أرقى.
So people forgive mistakes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not some like intentional acts. For example, I hit him by mistake. I hit Hussein by mistake.
Okay.
He forgives me.
Okay.
But if I forcefully hit him, he will not forgive me because it was intentional.
Okay.
So does God also do like this, or even forgives intentional acts? For example, you do a sin.
Of course, he forgives in case you do not commit again. Do you know what is worse than committing a sin? What is worse?
Not
than
believing in Allah's forgiveness.
No. That is
another thing.
A great shirk. That is okay.
Yes.
That is shirk. But worse than committing a guna, something which is worse than committing a sin itself, is committing it again, repeating it. So when you commit a guna, of course you do it intentionally. Yes or no?
Yes.
Intentionally you do it.
So question.
Okay, sometimes yes, accidentally do. But intentionally, of course, Allah forgives you if you come to Allah Almighty, if you return to Allah Almighty. As soon as you commit a sin, okay, you have to, as soon as possible, repent. No matter that in the future you might do it, okay? As soon as you commit a sin, you have to repent.
Doesn't matter if you keep
repenting. Ask Allah Almighty, okay, that to ask Allah Almighty to give you such a strong faith, okay, to stop committing it again. All right? But in case you did it, it's intentional maybe or accidentally, again ask Allah Almighty for forgiveness. All right? So Allah says, خُذِ الْعَفْوَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ. وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ, عُرْف means Amr bil Ma'ruf, have you heard?
Yes.
Yes, Amr bil Ma'ruf. Apply Amr bil Ma'ruf. It means invite people to what?
To do good.
Good. And wa'arid anil jahilin, and turn away from the ignorant. It means do not be among the ignorant. Okay? Yeah, have nothing to do with the ignorance. All right. So guys, refer to the Tafasir books. There are beautiful things. Now, خُذِ الْعَفْوَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. I think there is no important rule here. Only the letter Ra has to be pronounced correctly. وَأْمُرْ heavily. وَأَعْرِضْ ri lightly. Yes? Is there any point for what you want to say about these verses, Hussein?
Let's recite them together.
Let's recite them together. Okay. So we have mentioned the important tajweed rules here in these two verses. I will recite them once. You repeat after me. Okay?
Yes.
All right? Hassan, yes. Ready?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
وإن تدعوهم إلى الهدى لا يسمعوا.
وإن تدعوهم إلى الهدى لا يسمعوا.
وتراهم ينظرون إليك وهم لا يبصرون.
وتراهم ينظرون إليك وهم لا يبصرون.
خذ العفو وأمر بالعرف وأعرض عن الجاهلين.
خذ العفو وأمر بالعرف وأعرض عن الجاهلين.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
أحسنتم. Thank you so much. Allah bless you, inshallah. See you, brothers and sisters, in the next session. Thanks for being with us up to this time, inshallah. Thanks to IRB English Radio, Savvy International Schools Network, Hussein Rahullah, Hassan Nasrullah, Fawad Haider, and Hussein Akbari. See you in the next session. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa sallallahu ala Muhammadi wa alihi tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. وعجل فرجهم.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور. آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه. لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به. هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
ربنا supplication is the wealth of the believer and the bridge
by which one achieves proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Exalted.
A path to salvation, a way to connect the two worlds. On the program, Bridge.
You are listening to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Mahdi, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet Muhammad and his pure progeny. Respected listeners to IRIB English Radio, we are together again with the program Bridge, talking about the du'as and supplications of Sahifa Sajjadiyah, this great legacy of Imam Zainul Abidin, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. In fact, the teachings of the du'as of Sahifa Sajjadiyah that Imam Sajjad alayhi salam uses and utilizes the language of supplication in order to transmit and transfer the messages and the teachings of Islam with the language of du'a is a great asset that us as Muslims have access to. And inshallah, by these sessions, we will be reminded to definitely get connected with these du'as and use inshallah these du'as to apply them, apply the teachings of them into our daily lives. Talking about the 14th du'a of Sahifa Sajjadiyah, we reach to the part that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that make the taste of oppressing others to become the same level of bitterness as being oppressed. The same way we oppress others, the same way we feel detested, we hated, the same way we do not want to be oppressed, we also feel the same about oppressing others, meaning that we get to the fact that, to the belief that there is no bad that we can do to others and there's no good we could do to others. Rather, it's to ourselves. Whatever you do, it's you're doing it for yourselves. There's no way you can oppress others in reality, right? You're oppressing yourself, because by oppressing others, you're creating and you're producing haqqun nas, the rights of people, and you are intensifying and making your load heavier and making your hereafter to be more difficult because of the responsibilities and the trials that you will force yourself to face, right? So therefore, let's keep it here. Take a quick break and stay tuned with us. We'll be back.
A path to salvation. A way to connect the two worlds.
The bridge between Allah and His creation.
A bridge that is meant to take us to Allah, to take us to His proximity. A bridge that is in the form of dua and supplication.
In this program, we offer commentary on the du'as of As-Sahifatu Sajjadiyah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam.
The famous book of litanies, the Psalms of Islam.
Bridge.
Rabbana. Rabbana.
Respected listeners to IRIB English Radio, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam says, O Allah, فَكَمَا كَرَّحْتَ إِلَيَّ أَنْ أُذْلَمَ فَقِّنِي مَنْ أَنْ أَذْلَمْ. فَقِّنِي in here means, O Allah, the entire translation is this, just as the same way, just as you have made me detest being wronged and being oppressed and being harmed and being abused and harassed, the same way, so also protect me. Protect me from doing wrong to others, from oppressing others. This is very important. Brothers and sisters, The Holy Quran in Surah Al-Asr says, "Inna al-insana lafi khusr." Indeed, human being is in loss. It's in constant, under constant damage, under constant loss, under constant harm from the life of this dunya, except the ones that the continuation of the verse describes. But what is khusran? What is khasara in Arabic? In Arabic, khasara is described as the loss of your wealth, your capital, your assets, whatever you have to, you know, back you up in the times of need. If you lose them, then in Arabic that means khusran, right? That means khasara. A'udhu billah min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Surat Az-Zumar, verse number 15. It says in a very beautiful verse, A'udhu billah min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. قل إن الخاسرين الذين خسروا أنفسهم وأهليهم يوم القيامة ألا ذلك هو الخسران المبين. Do you want to know who are the true losers in this dunya? Indeed, the losers are the ones who will lose themselves and their families on the day of resurrection, on the day of judgment. Unquestionably, that is the manifest loss. That is the obvious loss. And part of the loss that we can face in this life of dunya is when you do not notice that you are losing all your wealth and all your assets and what you have gathered all these years in order to be able to use it sometimes later on. And that is by oppressing the rights of other people. Once you're in the position of oppressor, usually you're also heedless. And the combination of heedlessness and crossing over the rights of other people is a very toxic combination. The outcome is very toxic because it gets mixed up with ghafla, with the element and component of heedlessness. Let's take another break and come back.
Listening to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
All right, respected brothers and sisters in IRIB English Radio, in this last portion of this session, I'd like to include the fact that indeed those who are the true khasirin, the real losers, are the ones who do oppress themselves and who do cause harms to themselves. And the fact that Imam Sajjad alayhi salam in this dua says, O Allahumma, فَكَمَا كَرَّحْتَ إِلَيَّ أَنْ أُذْلَمْ فَقِنِي مِنْ أَنْ أَذْلَمْ. The same way you have made it bitter, you have made it to be detestful for us to oppress others, to be oppressed, make it taste the same way to us to oppress others, right? The ones who steal money, the ones who are thieves, the ones who do harm people and abuse people by their tongue, the ones who really abuse and harm people by their eyes, right? Looking at the people in a way that they do not feel comfortable, they do not feel at safety and security. And every body limb can do oppress others in some sort, in some way or the other. Maybe at the time of their oppression, they do not put themselves in the shoes of the victim. Therefore, they do not understand how bitter this action is. The one, the governor or the ruler who kills his own people, who oppresses other people, never wants to be killed and never wants to be oppressed by anyone. Right? But because he's in the position that he is in, he just doesn't feel it. He just doesn't care. Therefore, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam continues and he says, Allahumma la ashku ila ahadin sawak. If I want to complain in regards to anything in my life, I have no one but you. I complain to no one but you. And wala astainu bihakimin ghayrik. Because you are almighty, because you are powerful, do not I seek help from no ruler other than you, O Allah. Innal insana lafi khusr. Indeed, every human being is in loss. And this is the life of dunya. We seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to rescue us from the loss in the life of this dunya by obeying him and by doing the right action. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You just listened to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Mahdi, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
هرگز نگیرد تا ابد آقا کسی جای تو را هرگز مخواد از کف دهم عشق و تولای تو را یا سجاد.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
You are listening to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Shiraz, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, The Key, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on The Key, we are going to be examining a very interesting question. This question is a point of contention and debate amongst the various Islamic sects. And the question is this: is it permissible to visit the graves of Muslims in general, and also the graves of religious personalities such as the prophets, the imams, and also the religious scholars? Or is this something which is impermissible and a form of shirk? In response to this question, we can take guidance from the hadiths which have been passed down to us from the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. When we look at these hadiths and examine them, we see that not only is the visitation of the graves of these people permissible, it is also a source of otherworldly reward. By way of example, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, "The one who visits Hassan," meaning Imam Hassan alayhi salam, his grandson, "at his resting place, will cross the Sirat firm-footedly on the day when feet shall slip." And in another beautiful hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam said, "A part of me will be buried in the land of Khurasan." He's referring to Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam. "And any believer who visits him, Allah will make paradise obligatory for him and will forbid the fire from touching his body." So we see that the effects of such an act have an effect on the hereafter. Somebody might say that such an act, although it possesses otherworldly reward, it's perhaps not as virtuous as visiting one of these people in this when they are alive in this world. In order to dispel this notion, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, "He who visits us after our death is as one who visits us in our lifetime." And regarding the visitation to the grave of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, obviously you know this as a great reward, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, "Whoever visits Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, fully comprehending and acknowledging his right, Allah rewards him with the equivalent of 1,000 accepted obligatory pilgrimages and 1,000 accepted voluntary pilgrimages, and forgives him all his past and present sins." Of course, these sins are personal sins which occur between a servant and God. If a person sins by usurping the right of another human being, obviously it's necessary for that person to ask forgiveness and make amends for what he did in that regard. Thank you for joining us here on The Key. We were looking at the permissibility of visiting the graves of the deceased Muslims. Until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You just listened to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Shiraz, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
You can also send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Palestine Declassified.
Part 2. Hello, I'm Chris Williamson. This is Palestine Declassified. We're the only show that's dedicated to investigating and exposing the Israeli regime's global war against solidarity with the illegally occupied people of Palestine. In today's show, we'll be examining Ansar Allah's attempt to halt the Gaza genocide that's being perpetrated by the Zionist entity with the tacit and practical support of Western powers. But those self-same Western powers have responded to Ansar Allah's implementing the responsibility to protect doctrine that was unanimously adopted in 2005 at the UN World Summit by launching illegal bombing raids inside Yemen. Joining me in the studio, as usual, is our resident expert and eminent scholarly critic of Israel, David Miller. David's a senior research fellow at the Center for Islam and Global Affairs at Istanbul Zeyim University and is co-director of the lobbying watchdog Spinwatch. Our guest contributor today is the courageous award-winning investigative and photo journalist, Vanessa Beely. The British National Council for the Training of Journalists has described Vanessa as one of the most respected journalists in the UK. Welcome to the show. Now then, David, the US and the UK, for that matter, have repeatedly bombed Yemen in response to Ansar Allah's Red Sea campaign, but there's no legal basis for these bombing raids, is there?
Well, there's no legal basis for it, no. And actually, it's quite a lot of a charade, the whole thing. I mean, this was set up, if you recall, the Americans said they were going to do this thing called Operation Protect Prosperity.
Yes.
And they had a coalition. And the first thing that happened was the US Navy said, "We haven't got enough ships for this." Mm. And then France, Italy and Spain left the coalition, leaving the UK, the US, the Seychelles and perhaps one or two other countries. And what they did was they said they were going to target Yemen. And then all of a sudden, the stuff comes out in the New York Times saying, well, we're wondering if we target them in a severe sort of way, whether that might lead them to send some missiles towards our ships in the Med and in the Red Sea. And we're not really sure that that's a good idea. So what happened was that the Pentagon rings up Ansar Allah and says, well, we're going to bomb you. We're going to bomb here, here and here. And so if you get your guys out, then, you know, we'll call it quits. And that's what happened. These are demonstration attacks.
Right.
The reason for this is because the Americans are very well aware of the weaponry that Ansar Allah have. Yes, they have weaponry from the Iranians, but they also have weaponry, very advanced weaponry, taken from the Saudis, which, of course, was supplied by the Americans. And the Americans know that the missiles that they have can sink very large American ships. So the much vaunted power and prowess of the US Naval Service and projecting US power has turned into floating metal targets in, yes, in the Mediterranean, in the Red Sea, and indeed in the Indian Ocean. So they know perfectly well that, that they're in danger. And so what we see is the Americans are actually scared of taking on the, one of the poorest nations in the world. Yeah. And let's also remember that they had a fleet of ships there led by an aircraft carrier, the Roosevelt,
yes,
which was there for something like 80 days or so, and yeah, then decided to go back home. Yeah. It said it was at the end of its 90-day tour. Well, it wasn't at the end of its 90-day tour, and it had been under attack consecutive days for about 30 or 40 days. It looks like it was so severely damaged that they had to withdraw it, and that's the situation we're faced with.
Sure, interesting indeed. Yes, well, our next report examines the economic impact on the Zionist entity of